Good morning. Thank you for being here as we gather to celebrate Art and Pat Donnelly's and Callan's life. And we gather here confident that God's grace is among us. And I always like to highlight that as we gather here, we understand that God has created us in such a way that we have a loss, that we grieve that loss. And so my prayer is not that you won't grieve, but my prayer is that you will grieve well, and you'll be open to God's Spirit leading you through that grieving process where you can experience His healing and His peace and strength to go forward in a healthy and wholesome way. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world. I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me will not remain in darkness." And with the psalmist, we gather trusting that the Lord is my light and my salvation. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Let us open our hearts wide to God's love and grace. Please pray with me. Almighty and loving God, you are a refuge and strength, a very present help in our time of grief. Therefore, we will not grieve as those who have no hope. For as a father has compassion for his children, so you, O Lord, have compassion for those who trust you. And as a mother comforts her child, so you, O God, comfort us. Eternal God, we acknowledge the uncertainty of our life on earth. We are given a mere handful of days, and our span of life seems nothing in your sight. All flesh is as grass, and all of its beauty is like a flower of the field. The grass withers, the flower fades, but your word, O Lord, will stand forever. And this is our hope, for you are our God. Even in the valley of the shadow of death, you are with us. Your love for us is from everlasting to everlasting. You alone can turn the shadow of death into the brightness of the morning light. Help us to turn to you with believing hearts. In the stillness of this hour, speak to us of eternal things, so that hearing the promises in Scripture, we may have hope and be lifted up above our distress into the love and peace of your presence. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And if you're able to stand, I invite you now as we sing our opening hymn, "How Great Thou Art."
Thank you.
seated. As we come to the Old Testament reading, people down through the centuries have found strength and comfort and peace and hope and grace and love when they've turned to the Scriptures. The Christian conviction is that God has revealed God's self in the Bible, expressing His love for us that is from everlasting to everlasting, amidst the good times and the hard times of our lives. And we all know that we can only know as much about a person as that person is willing to share with us, because we can't see inside a person and know their heart that way. And if that's true, we can see each other physically. How much more true is that of God, who we can't see, but whom God has revealed Himself in creation and supremely through His Son, Jesus Christ, and through His Word. So as we come to Psalm 23, the beloved 23rd Psalm, I invite you to join me in reading this together. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for Thou art with me. Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
And as we come to a time of remembrance, I'll invite the family to come forward as they determine. And as you come forward, please give your name and the relationship you have so people have the context in which you're sharing. And I believe you'll lead off.
Hi, good morning. I'm Patsy's sister, Ellen Donnelly Hardgrave, and I am honored to be here. Before I tell you how wonderful Patsy and I were in growing up, I do want to tell you about Artie. I want to honor Artie. He is just a wonderful man, and he's very, very humble. I didn't know that until I got to really know Artie when he took fabulous care of my sister. All the Donnelly kids loved Artie and they all teased him, but it was, hi, great to see you, and goodbye. And after Patsy became ill, Artie was her rock. And he was kind, loving, compassionate, and probably the best caregiver of a spouse I've ever seen. And that's, now I can tell you about Patsy. And she was born the first of six children. So we were eight people living in a three-bedroom home. So if anything was going on, you definitely heard about it, even if you weren't supposed to. And my sister was born a pianist. She absolutely loved the piano and was playing. Anytime she was not in school, she was playing the piano. And then she took up the violin, and we listened to that. We even listened to opera on Sunday morning, because that's when it was on the radio. And none of us liked opera, but Patsy loved it. And my dad said, if she likes that music, you are going to love it and learn to like it. So we all listened to opera. And Patsy's always known, since she was probably 12 years old, she wanted to go to Boston University and major in music. Well, halfway through her college education, she decided she wants to become a concert pianist. And my dad, of course, was in the den with Patsy, and I was sitting on the stairs, upstairs, but heard it all. And he said to her, you know, not many people make it to the stage as a concert pianist. And he suggested she major in minor in education, which she chose to do. And my dad said, you know, you'll never know. You may one day be the sole support of your family, and it's imperative that you can take care of them. And sadly, that's exactly what happened. And Patsy's first husband, David Raycroft, died. And my sister became a single parent. She raised two of the most fabulous members of our family, Christine and Davy B. And I called Davy B from the time he was 2 years old because all he wanted to do was play baseball. And he never wanted to be the prince in the Cinderella play. So my family got to know the Raycroft kids, and they all sort of grew up together. We had wonderful times on Cape Cod with my mom and dad. And now that they've moved down here, except for Christine, they've all become close, even over the phone. And I adore them. I really do adore them. As time went by, my sister, one thing she did teach me was how to shop in Filene's basement. She loved shopping, and she dressed beautifully, and a lot nicer than some of my siblings. But Patsy decided, I went to Japan with my husband when my son was stationed in Okinawa. And right after I came back from that trip, Patsy said to me, I want to go to Japan. And I said, okay, I'd love to go back again. And so what does she do? She goes, well, don't schedule it too soon because I'm going to learn Japanese. And she did. She's brilliant. She's absolutely brilliant. And it helped us tremendously, especially when we couldn't get into the military hotel in Tokyo because my son was delayed arriving from Qatar. So we were able to get in there and waited for Chris, but we toured Tokyo and a lot of the museums, and we went to Kyoto, and we also went to Mount Fuji with the idiotic belief that we could climb a large part of it. Well, we didn't know there were 10 layers, and we had our walking sticks, but when the bus drives you up there, you're already at a pretty high elevation, and we only made it to 1.5 levels and quit. And then when we went back to Tokyo, we flew to Okinawa, and we had a marvelous time with my son and his wife, Tiffany, who had already absorbed the Japanese culture, and she was fluent in Japanese. And we enjoyed the art, the flower arrangement, the formality of the tea services, the tradition, and my sister absorbed every single thing and questioned everything, and actually we all fell in love with the Okinawans. It was quite a marvelous trip, and we enjoyed every bit of it. Well, then Patsy, we got home, and she goes, I want to go to Spain. So off we went to Spain and Portugal, and just had such fabulous experiences with my sister-in-law, Becky. She also went to Japan, and we went to Madrid and Lisbon, Portugal. And once again, it was a marvelous trip. And when we came home, I said, oh my gosh, I hope we're not gonna do another trip quickly. But she resumed her creative writing, and she could write beautifully, as most of you know. She did short stories, a lot of them about our crazy family, and she wrote a play that was actually produced on stage, and she wrote poetry. And I want to read you one short poem. It's called "The Photo on My Desk," and it's a tribute to our dad. The man on the horse holds the reins in one hand. The horse knows his touch and waits. Posed for the photo, the rider wears jodhpurs, riding boots, a shirt and a tie, with a slight smile on his face. No flowers or gardens in view. No fragrance wafts from the trees. Few trees shed the edge. My father is in Maine delivering a horse, 32 miles from Mogunquit to Acton, as he did often when he was 25. The dry field does not show his future. The horse looks peaceful and secure, its mane braided, cared for as the man's large family will be one day. Erect and elegant in the English saddle, is he musing about his single state? He hasn't met the pretty teacher, our mother. $2 spent for the marriage license, and in italics, my dad had written, "The best $2 I ever spent." Patricia Donnelly Callan. And I want to just say that I loved my sister very much. I had wonderful times with her. I'm going to miss her. I love you, Patsy.
Good morning, everyone. My name is David Raycroft, and I am Patricia's son and Arthur's favorite stepson. I'd like to start off by thanking Northwood Presbyterian for the hospitality, graciousness, and I'd also like to thank the choir for their angelic renditions. We're here today together to say our final goodbyes, to honor our parents, friends, grandparents, brother and sister, aunt and uncle, great aunt and uncle, great grandparents even. They were a lot of things to a whole lot of people. They were the original power couple to all who knew them in Newton and in Dunedin. But they're not a power couple based on status, finance, or politics. They're a power couple based on kindness, caring, and accomplishments. It is quite appropriate that we celebrate them in a combined service, which I believe is the first of its kind for this sanctuary, as it should be. Patricia and Arthur, Pat and Art, Patsy and Artie, and later, Peppermint Patty and Chuck. Mom said a few years ago that people called her Peppermint Patty. So by default, that made Arthur Chuck. And I don't think Arthur was too keen on being Chuck, but with like most things, he was a good sport about it, even if it pained him to do so. The earliest memory I have of them together, which is really going back a long way, is around the first year they started dating. I was maybe 12. So it was either Friday or Saturday nights, and it was square dancing night at Warren Junior High. A hot date moment, if there ever was one. And Mom would spend a fair amount of time getting ready. She had the country western dress, complete with frilly white petticoats. And always punctual, Arthur would show up right on time wearing his country outfit, complete with vest and bolero. and off they would go to twirl and stomp the night away in the gymnasium. And that brings me to really what was Arthur's special skill in life: creating memories for everyone around him that he cared about. And that was a lot of people, because he was a very caring man who cared about a whole lot of people, especially my mom, who he created a whole lifetime of memories for. In 1971, Patsy's first husband died. Our father, David Gage, leaving her a single mom with two children and a mortgage for many years. I can't help but think, you know, how difficult that must have been for her. But she soldiered on. And Patsy met her second great catch of a lifetime sometime around 1976, I think, and wasted no time landing her second catch of a lifetime in the boat. Think it might have been a Chris Craft. No, it was definitely a Chris Craft. They spent most every weekend together in Maine during the summers, where we as kids were gifted many great memories from Arthur: swimming, water skiing, canoeing, fishing, snorkeling. But none of these activities appealed to Patsy. She hated being cold, and she strongly disliked cold water. And let's face it, there is no warm water in Maine. Evidently, she was there for only one reason: to spend time with the lover of her life, the king of crazy pants, the man himself. They spent many weekend nights together on night cruises on the Great East Lake. Certainly was the best time of the weekend for both of them, even if the days were filled with fun. My mother had many, many, many individual accomplishments. She earned a bachelor's degree from Boston University and a master's degree from Lesley College. And while raising two wonderful, supportive, and talented children, she held down a full-time teaching job, was also a part-time church organist and choir director, and taught voice lessons a few times a week in her not-so-spare time. Later in her retirement, she had written several poetry books and was an active member of the church choir for decades. To say she was an active and accomplished lady is probably as big an understatement as one could ever make. Her individuality made her special. But what defined her was her special relationship with Arthur. Arthur was well known to all who knew him for his affinity for crazy pants. He held many a cookout and many a clam bake, and I can't be certain, but the clam bakes probably were an excuse to show off his lobster pants. Arthur was driven and extremely active in all things community and church related. Some of you may not know, but during his retirement years in Dunedin, he volunteered many hours to do taxes for seniors and also frequently donated to food pantries and delivered meals for seniors in need. Together, they traveled frequently, which we've heard, and they, in addition to where they went, I remember they went to France, Italy, and Alaska together, in addition to what Ellen shared, so they had some miles. All this while, they were dedicated snowbirds for almost their entire retirement years. They embedded themselves in their communities together through the church and individually through volunteer work and book clubs, visiting and supporting museums and theater art programs. Speaking of which, amongst the many plays we attended together, one night, not too many years ago, I got an invite to attend a private presentation on painting restoration at the Dolly Museum, which is in St. Petersburg, for those of you who don't know. It was an informative and fun night. But before that special evening, I was completely unaware that she was a financial supporter of the Dolly Museum. I wasn't surprised to find that out, though. We all are as a family very lucky they chose to be snowbirds, because by doing so they were able to not only spoil but create very special relationships with all their grandchildren who they adored. Going through some photos made me realize just how much time they spent with my son, Chip, David Gage himself, who was lucky enough to have them pretty much all to himself all winter. I remember Miss Grammy even went to a hockey game or two, which is somewhat remarkable because her least favorite place was probably a freezing cold hockey rink. Last few years were certainly a challenge, but it allowed us that were local to spend a whole lot of time with them, and it was a good chance for us to spoil them back, and they deserved that, and that was really a blessing. Together, they lived 176 years combined, 40 of those as a couple, or really 46 as a couple, and 40, they were married for 40 years. And like in an epic ballad, they decided to climb the stairway to heaven together. It's really appropriate. Thank you.
Hey everybody, Cal Kennedy, Kathy Callan's son, grandson of Papa and Pat. Ellen, thank you for calming me down. You were very composed and I feel much better now. It's funny, growing up on my dad's side, we used to go to Cape Cod every summer, and one of my uncles used to play the bagpipes to kick off cocktail hour, and it was always a funny noise to hear wherever you were around the house, and it was a different feeling today hearing those bagpipes, but it's kind of nice in a sense to have a good memory on both sides of the emotion there. When I think of Papa and Pat, I really think of just being thankful. I think of growing up with your grandparents around you and how nice that is, as you just described. I think of him for Papa and Pat, really, it's always a combination of those two. They're always together for me. But I think of being thankful for raising some tough and loving kids. I thank them for showing me how cool cars can be. That's a popular topic in the Callan family, and I can't fix anything, but I at least have an appreciation for cars now, which is fun. I'm thankful for Papa and Pat being old school, you know, that cabin in Maine, all the stuff that Papa probably repaired over the years, the handiness that the Callan sons have and my mom has. I don't have that, but maybe it will come later in life. I'm thankful for my first name. Thanks, Mom and Papa. I'm thankful for some great hair from the Callan family, some great teeth, although I didn't really inherit that side. I've got 50 cavities, I think, or 50 fillings. I think Papa had zero, so that's pretty incredible. I'm thankful for just having some strong role models, people that care about their family. That goes a long way, and I think I'm gonna work my butt off to maintain that as I get older, keep everyone together. On a more positive note, I think Papa and Pat did a great job of keeping their passions alive as they grew older. I can relate for my brother who's not here, who's in San Francisco. He loves to write and he loves poetry, and I think Pat, in some way, shape, or form, helped him grow that passion. And obviously that carried Pat a long way in her life. None of us have any musical skills, so that side didn't transition to us. And I also want to thank Papa for showing me that retirement isn't necessarily a vacation, but it's a transition to make the world a better place with his car museum and his volunteering. That's such a cool quality to work your butt off, take care of people, And then when it's time for you, it's really time to help others. I think it's such a great quality. I guess two last things, positive things, because I am happy about all this. Happy to see you guys. Happy to have the ears and memories of Papa and Pat. I bought an engagement ring yesterday. And I always thought of, if the timing had worked out, that Papa and Pat would be sitting in a Model A car driving Carolyn and I. So maybe someone else, maybe you, Mom, can figure out how to drive one of those things if we can find one. Nice. And lastly, this has been a really big source of pride for me in my life. That old crappy cabin in Maine that's still standing, what, 60 years, 50 years since Papa built it. I've been going up there with a group of friends, just guys. We call it Bad Dad Weekend. I've got a group of buddies from home that are all great fathers, but I strip them from their families one 24-hour period every summer, and we go up to the camp and stay right across from Karen and John, and we just have the best time, and it's always miraculous that we get, you know, 10 or 12 guys in there that all weigh 200 pounds, and that house can withstand it. So every year when we're up there, and we'll do it again this summer, we'll do a cheers to Papa and say thank you for giving us that place and all the memories that we've made up there. So we'll miss you, Papa and Pat.
I thought I would get through this without crying, but that you just blew it, Cal. I'm Jelena Yeager. I'm married to David Callen, and Arthur and Pat were my in-laws, and I love them both so much. Pat was brilliant. I don't need to tell anybody that. Everybody that knew her knew that. But, sorry, she gave me an incredible gift. We used to sing together, and Pat said to me, you know, Jelena, God gave you a gift, and he expects you to use it. And I had always loved singing, but I had stopped singing with local groups and everything. So I started singing, and I've sung for 35 years. I've learned major choral works. I've learned to read music. And I have my sister-in-law to thank for that. And I think that's really all I want to say about them. But I love them both, and I'm really sad, and I'll miss them.
I'm Jeff Callen, one of Arthur's sons, number four out of five. I got the Kenny hair, not the Callen hair. Thank you very much. It's great to see you all, and you know, Mike, again, thanks to the church and Pastor Means for just really supporting us through all this. I hope I'm going to be able to do this. So I was laying in bed one night and thinking about, you know, should I speak and what would I say, and trying to sum up two such rich and full lives, quite a challenge. And the word that popped into my head was togetherness. And God, you know, they were great together. Role models as people, role models as a couple, and just, you know, touched so many lives. You know, we've heard about their, you know, their travels, and there was always something going on. You know, the Model A is going to be in a parade, and you know, we're heading to Ohio to see a play that, you know, Pat wrote, and you know, we're on a Model A tour down to Pennsylvania, and you know, we're going to go down to the Cape and get donuts, and you know, Florida and Maine, and you know, just it was such an adventurous lifestyle for them, and so many years that they got to do that together, which is just fantastic. And you know, as I thought through, and you know, you've probably been to services before, and you know, they call it a celebration of life, and this time it really hit me that that's actually what this is, and it was. You know, two lives that really could be celebrated because they did such a good job with it, and for so long. And you know, I had the honor of heading out to you know, one of their trips. Hey, we're going out to build a museum. Okay, and I can't share what Dad said about the Ford heirs and how stingy they were, because we're in church, so I won't share. But he was a dog on a bone with them, and you know, they put it together. So I had the honor of going out to Michigan with my kids to accept his induction into the Model A Hall of Fame up next to, you know, Henry and Edsel Ford and I think 32 other people, you know, since the 20s. And he said to me, drop my name at the gate. You'll probably save the $4, you know, to get in. And I kind of tongue-in-cheek did it when we got there, and didn't two people turn around saying, we know Pat and Arthur, and brought us in. And, you know, there were hundreds of people at this event from all over the world, and everybody I ran into just said, oh, we love the, and their names are all over the plaques and the bricks, and they really made a difference in getting that going and setting that up. And all the people that just embrace them, and I'm sure vice versa. You know, it was such a community. And another whole other aspect of my dad's life that, you know, I just finally got exposed to. You know, we knew he liked the cars and stuff. And oh, by the way, I'm not the mechanical one either, Dave. I was tech support. So that was a great honor, and really just gave me a sense of those folks. And we used to make fun of Dad. He started dating, you know, and you know, he borrowed Jimmy's Firebird and put on his leisure suit and his skimmer, right, and looked all dapper and take his girl out somewhere, you know, in your car, which was none of that. And you know, we'd kind of roll our eyes, you know, and you know, and here's this woman that you know, fell for a guy in his, you know, socks and sandals and the lobster pants and the whole deal, and you know, we just kind of roll our eyes and say, well, at least they're happy. And they were, you know, which was the amazing thing. They really were a great couple. And you know, they touched a lot of hearts as they moved through life, and it was an honor to have known them and be offspring. Right? You know, and sometimes, you know, Pat, you know, as a stepmom, got the short stick from us. But she certainly deserved better, and you know, was a treasure to my dad. So just an amazing pair. So it was great to have this opportunity to see them off, and here they are together again. You know, we always fought. You know, they tried to get us to go to church, and we pretend to be asleep. You know, I can't find my good clothes, and you know, all these excuses. But got me back. Okay. So I will miss them, and as I think a lot of us will. So that's, I think, all I wanted to say. Thank you.
My name is Howard. I'm the middle brother of about 11 years difference. I have another brother here who is, I think, 10 years different. And we were 1, 2, and 3. So he had his groupie, I had my groupie. And David, you're out there somewhere. You got a groupie. But anyway. We grew up separate, but apart, if you know what I mean. He introduced me to setting up pins at the bowling alley, which kept me going in my younger years with a little money. But other than that, we were 1, 2, and 3, pretty much. But anyway, I'm going to miss him a lot. Thank you.
I'm Christine Raycroft, and Pat and Arthur were my parents. And we've heard a lot about my mom as a writer, and I want to just speak a little bit more detail about that. It's an honor to be here celebrating the lives of my mom and the dad that I knew best. I feel so lucky to have had both of them as my parents, role models and trusted advisors. Thank you to all of you who are here today to celebrate them with me and my family. So her writing career, I feel like it was her second career, if you will. After retiring from Cambridge Public Schools as the high school choral director, Mom began to focus on developing her talents as a writer. Her writing covered many different genres, from poetry to playwriting, from essay to memoir. I would come visit their Newton home often, and every time the dining room table would be scattered with her writing tools. A laptop, of course, dictionaries of all languages, thesaurus, reference books, paper clips, pencils, erasers, and so many notebooks. The table revealed how hard she worked at her writing and how much she loved it. She was a member of writing groups both in Massachusetts and Florida, including the Powell River Poets in Newbury, Mass., and the Pinellas Writers in Clearwater, Florida. My mom was very proud of her work as a writer and wrote 2 plays that were set into production. The first was about Clara Bryant Ford, the wife of Henry Ford, and the second was called Papa's House, for which she won the Lauren Taylor Memorial Award, and was about the family life of Samuel Clemens, AKA Mark Twain. Of course, by her side all the way was Arthur, cheering her on at each turn, traveling with her to receive her awards, and helping her self-publish her poetry books. Even in the last few years, when her mind got fixated on selling her poetry books on Amazon, Arthur helped her figure out a way to get the books to the public. And by public, I mean her family and friends. Mom was a dedicated and gifted writer. In closing, I'd like to read one of her poems. I chose this particular poem because, as David mentioned, she didn't like cold water, and this expresses that, and it expresses her love for her home and for her garden and for the birds that visited her garden. It's called Treading Water. If there are women born to be explorers, then I know I am not one of them. Should a lone motorboat speed east, its wake trailing a promise and a veil, then I would not water ski behind it. Should a rubber raft bounce crazily by, the handsome guide stroking towards the falls, I'd cheer him on his way. And if a schooner, 3-masted, appeared beckoning, I would refuse passage to Vanuatu, Morea, even the Garden of Eden. The cheery sparrows chirping at the door, ground cover creeping around my feet, yarrow fueling the day, all have pressed me into service, buoyed by permanence.
Good morning. My name is Tom Donnelly. I'm Patsy's youngest and best-looking sibling. That last claim has been disputed greatly through the years by the various members of my family. I'm not in the program. I was going to say I was called up from AAA because they needed a heavy hitter. But after listening to Ellen and David and Cal, God bless you, Cal, you did a great job. Jalna, Jeffrey, Christine, and Howard, they really needed someone who was able to bunt the ball. So apparently that's my job. I want to also, as join David, and say thank you very much, Choir. You did a great job. You really do. And Reverend, thank you. Thank you, Paul. And I note that they have the robes from the choir from Patsy and Arthur. And I think that is just a wonderful touch. As I grew up, there's an age difference of 13 years between Patsy and myself. I was about 4 years old when Dad and I would take her up to BU. She was off to BU to get her bachelor's degree, in music. And the inside joke of the family, at least it was an inside joke that my brother and I used to say because we'd get in trouble, was that Patsy studied very hard, was very, very talented, and worked for 4 years to get her bachelor's in music, or as we would call it, her BM degree. And by the way, thank you for that laugh. I appreciate that. We've heard of her struggles when the death of her first husband from brain tumor at the age of 42, raising two kids. My sister Ellen said they're wonderful kids. There might be some dispute of that. She was a teacher and a choir director in a church in Newton. My father, who we call JVD, I was going to Northeastern University at the time, and he told me, Tommy, you're going to Newton on Wednesday nights, and you're going to watch Christine and David so Patsy can lead the choir. In my rebellious state, I said, okay, Dad, I'll be happy to do that. I didn't know she was going to meet Arthur at that church, so I'm taking some credit for facilitating that match. Arthur, like Patsy, was a single parent. This time, he was a father raising five kids on his own while going to that, again, illustrious university, Northeastern University, an outstanding institution at night and earning his bachelor's degree. Both of these people are just remarkable. The Callen kids, most of whom are here today, are a testament to that. I say most because John, the oldest, had surgery that could not be postponed. So let's just please all remember him in our prayers. When Arthur was introduced to Patsy's family, at the time we had a dog named Arthur. My mother, God bless her soul, was a little tightly wrapped, all right? And she told us not to mention a thing about the dog's name. I really didn't think that she knew the group she was talking to. My brother was worse than me by spades. So the instant Arthur walked into the restaurant, first words out of my brother's name was, "Hello, Arthur the Human." And that name, Arthur the Human, or the Human for short, stuck for the rest of his life. I used to call him the Human all the time. He would, as David said, they would come down for Christmas for the winter, and on Christmas Eve we would have a big family gathering at my house. First Christmas Arthur came in, everything was nice, everything was wonderful, there wasn't a real problem at all, until my wife tried to go to bed. She pulled down the sheets, and there were all these candy bugs spread throughout the sheets, right? We know exactly who did that, okay? Right. The next year, he showed up, and I searched him at the door, right? I said, we're not having these candy bugs here in the bed. What he had done, he listed the age of one of the little kids. So they snuck the candy bugs in, right? My wife pulled down the sheets, and there we are, right there, some more candy bugs, right? Finally, I'm searching everybody, 30 people coming in the door, getting searched, right? So we don't have any candy bugs in the bed. But Arthur was a most generous, loving Christian. Arthur and Patsy reminded me of the widow in the Bible who gladly gave her last money to Jesus. Patsy and Arthur were kind, gentle, strong-willed, would give of themselves and their fortune whenever they thought there was a need. They both loved their fellow humans, and it didn't matter race, color, creed, nothing. If they saw a need, they tried to help. Several examples, of course, come to mind, one of which was my sister is of limited physical mobility and limited financial ability. When we were getting together to purchase a car for her, Arthur came out of left field and donated a significant sum of money. When a grandchild had a hearing issue, Arthur led the charge to get him a hearing aid. Where might that young man be? We're not going to raise any. We're not calling anybody out, Chip. Don't worry about it. Right? Arthur and Patsy taught us how to love and to live together. I have modified the Lord's Prayer a little bit, so please forgive me. Our Father who art in heaven, thy kingdom has come for Arthur and Patsy. Thy will was done by Arthur and Patsy on earth, and I am sure they are continuing in heaven. They gave their daily bread, their time and energy, to the sick and the poor. They forgave trespasses and debtors, and they have been delivered from evil. And this sinner is certain they are with you and with the wonderful family who has gone before you. In Jesus Christ's name I pray. Thank you.
Here, and there was a question whether he was a musician. He was here.
Well, we've had some wonderful sharing, wonderful memories that have been lifted up, the gift of music that we've just enjoyed from our choir. So I'm going to do the readings that are in front of you, make a brief comment that will suffice for the meditation. We'll limit that significantly and then move into our prayer time. The opening and closing hymn was selected by the family, as well as the New Testament readings that you're about to hear. The first one is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning in verse 13. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers and sisters, about those who have died, so that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, though through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have died. And the other reading is from John's Gospel, a well-known passage. It's often read during memorial services, funerals. This is Jesus speaking. Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. My Father's house has many rooms. If that were not so, would I have told you that I'm going there to prepare a place for you? And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you may also be where I am. And then another verse that is not mentioned, it's the verse 27 in John's Gospel, chapter 14. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. And as we gather here, and I think some comments were made in passing about how Pat and Art met at church, and they were certainly faithful members here at Northwood. They lived out their faith in both word and deed. And one of the things that, as I think about them and their faith, is that sometimes people kind of make Christianity complicated. And it's really about relationships. It's about God's relationship with us, our relationship with God, and our relationship with one another. And we can even go so far as to say our relationship within our own hearts, within ourselves. And it's the promise of good news that we don't have to earn God's love. It's given freely through what God has done for us in Jesus Christ as he went to the cross, laid down his life, and paid the price for our sins. So somebody says, how do I know that God loved me? It's because, did God create me? Did God create the world? We know that God has shown his love supremely through Jesus Christ in his life, death, and resurrection. And we know that God's love is from everlasting to everlasting. And so Christianity, again, is about hope and promise, because we realize that in this world, there's a lot of joy, there's a lot of beauty, and there's a lot of laughter. But Christianity, and that's one of the reasons why I became a Christian, doesn't ask us to stick our head in the sands. It doesn't call us to put on rose-colored glasses or have a Pollyannish attitude. We can face life as it is, and we know that life can be hard, it can be brutal, it can be angry, it can be violent, there are shattered dreams and all the rest, but we can have the courage to face life as it is, to grow as the person God has created us to be, because we know we're secure in God's love through Jesus Christ. And we gather here with confidence that death doesn't have the last word. We celebrate Art and Pat's life, but we're not just here going through a ritual. We're not just going through a way to cope, to go forward. We are here because we believe in the reality of the resurrection and that Jesus Christ truly was raised from the dead, the first fruits for all those who will believe in him. And I want to share some thoughts from Bob Davenport, who shared at the funeral for Jim Carson, Stephanie Carson's first, her husband, and he shared ways to think about grief. So I just want to say, offer these words as hope for all of us. Bob described grief this way: grief is the tax that love imposes on a loss. Grief is the tax that love imposes on a loss. Like other taxes, grief may be deferred, postponed, and like other taxes, grief will come due with penalties. Bob went on to say, if your eyes don't cry, some other organ will. The grief we don't do will do us. Regarding the personal nature of grief, he offered these helpful insights: that our grief is an experience. Grief is intensely personal. No one size, shape, color, or design fits all. No one can tell us how or for how long to express our grief. Grief is a strange mix of feelings, some of which seem mutually exclusive. Loss and relief, sadness and rage, loudness and silence. Its expression ranges from prayer-like reverence to near blasphemous curses. Bob closed his reflections on grief with these two sentences: in your grief, travel carefully, seek understanding company. Grieve with abandon, grieve with love, and so honor, in this case, Art and Pat, honor their memories as nothing else will do. So as we think about going through, going forward in our lives, being open to the possibilities that God brings to us, we acknowledge the pain and the brokenness in our world, and we acknowledge that there are some times where we just can't connect the dots. We can't logically fit the puzzle pieces together, and we are invited, when that happens in our lives, and we have to be real that it does happen in this world, to look to the cross. And it's as if God says to us in his small, still voice, he says, I know that you can't possibly make sense of what's happening in your life right now with what has taken place, but can you trust me for those things you can't understand right now because of the reality of the love I've shown you through my son? And so my encouragement to all of us is to be open to that good news in our lives and to embrace what I read earlier, the words of Jesus: peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. Please pray with me. You are holy, O God of majesty, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. He lived as one of us, knew our joy, our pain, and sorrow, and died our death. By his death on the cross, you revealed your love for us has no limit. By raising him from the dead, you conquered the last enemy and gave new life to the world. In his victory, you comfort us with the hope of eternal life and assure us that neither death nor life, nor things present nor things to come, can separate us from the love of Christ Jesus our Lord. Almighty and loving God, we know that life is a gift. We rejoice and give thanks for the gift of life you gave to your dearly beloved children, Patricia Donnelly Callan and Arthur Frederick Callan. We give you thanks for the loving and generous ways that Pat and Art shared that gift with others. We are deeply grateful for the many abilities and blessings you bestowed upon each of them. We celebrate the love they shared with each other and with so many others. We give thanks for the lives they touched and the many blessings which came to those who knew them well and loved them much. We thank you for Pat's and Art's example of living life with faith, with hope, and with love. Pat and Art fought the good fight. They finished the race. They kept the faith. Dear Lord, we thank you that Patricia Donnelly Callan and Arthur Frederick Callan may rest from their labors and enter into the light of your eternal rest. Receive, O Lord, your servants, for they return to you. May they hear your words of welcome. Come, you blessed of my Father, and receive the unfading crown of glory. May the angels surround them and the saints welcome them in peace. Heavenly Father, knowing that you take us seriously and you love us with that everlasting love, may you meet each person where they are in their lives, and by your grace, may we draw strength, courage, and peace, trusting that all of your promises have been answered, yes, in your Son Jesus. For we offer this prayer in his name, for Jesus is the one who knows us the best and loves us the most. And now in your mercy, hear us as we offer the prayer Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. I invite you, if you're able, to stand as we sing our closing hymn, Be Thou My Vision. God's house, to go out into God's world, open to the love of God that never lets us go, to be open to the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, a grace that picks us up and dusts us off and puts us back on the path of life day after day, and to know that God gives us his Holy Spirit to make a home in our hearts and those we love now and for all the days that are yet to come. Amen.